Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Virginia Supreme Court sidestepped the merits of the case involving the LGBT policy in Fairfax County. They dismissed the case based upon what's called standing. We're going to be talking about it and talk about the next step in this case and other issues like it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. The Virginia Supreme Court had before it a case involving Lafferty versus Fairfax County School Board. It was involving a school board in Northern Virginia that took an unlawful action. It's clear that once we ever get to the merits of this case, we'll ultimately win this case. We just need to get beyond the standing issue. But what the school board did was they added sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to its policy and student handbook. And that's in clear contravention of state law, which says you can't do that, can't add additional categories of non-discrimination if they're not in the state law. And none of these are in the state law. And so they clearly violated it. The question is, having the right person and the right facts to challenge it. We challenged it on behalf of Jack Doe, who is a minor, who expressed fear of using the restrooms because girls would be able to come in those restrooms, and therefore he could be punished if he ultimately pushed back. Well, he hadn't yet been punished, and at the time that the lawsuit was filed, that had not happened. No punishment had occurred yet. However, you can't change the facts of the lawsuit once it's filed, once it gets up on appeal, and so we still had to deal with those facts, or, if you will, lack of punishment. But now going forward, we'll have to go back, regroup, find some additional plaintiffs, including Jack Doe, including some of the developments that happened since that complaint, Matt, and go back and file another action against the Fairfax County School Board based upon additional plaintiffs and additional facts. And once we get beyond the standing issue, where someone actually has a specific controversy that can be remedied and a right that has ultimately been taken away, then we'll get to the issue of whether the school board had the right to do this. And once we get to that, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and it's disappointing that it was basically thrown out on a technicality, and the Virginia Supreme Court was able to kind of skirt weighing in on the merits here, because this is such a critical case. I mean, this is a topic that is really a polarizing topic. It's under debate. We have radical LGBT activists that have through, you know, kind of emotional anecdotes and things, they people who are really not that informed, they're able to kind of win them over to their propaganda side of things. And we have this kind of mass delusion occurring in this country where people can actually will actually pretend that a young boy in a miniskirt, just because he just arbitrarily and subjectively decides he wants to, you know, feels like a girl, or just because he wants to go into the girls' locker room and showers. It's all subjective, so we can't get into the mind of the individual, that he can invade the privacy of young girls in the showers, just as an example, disrobe and expose them to himself. And it's just crazy that we're even having this conversation. So you would think that the Virginia Supreme Court would want to weigh in on this. And hopefully, as this thing plays out, we will be able to remedy that standing issue and get to the merits of the case.
You know, it's like in these kind of cases where I want to be like Gorsuch and say, you know, why don't we go back to the what does the policy and handbook originally say? We don't need to add sexual orientation or gender identity. What does the original say? Let's go with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the problem here, too, I think the Virginia Supreme Court should have gotten to the actual merits of the case and gone past the standing issue, because here you've got a young boy who's in the school who is concerned about what he can say and what he can do, the invasion of his privacy, where he's in the restroom or shower room or wherever it might be, and girls are able to use that same facility. If he ultimately complains, you know, these students are not students that want to get disciplined. They don't want to have that on their
Just
record.
Want their
For
privacy.
Example, if somebody wants to go into the military and they're applying to one of the elite military schools. Or somebody later on wants to go into law school, and you're going to have to list on your application whether you've ever been disciplined before. There's other places as well. Somebody wants to go into the intelligence gathering agencies, FBI, CIA. You don't want to list, well, in high school, yes, I was disciplined for XYZ. Now, I won the case, but I was disciplined for it, even if they won. You don't want that. So you should not be forced to actually cross the line to actually be disciplined and have to challenge the discipline in order to challenge the unlawful action of the school board. You should be able to say, this policy is in existence. They didn't put it there just as window dressing. It's not like a decorative plant that you can take it or leave it. They put that policy in there for a reason. It's part of the disciplinary code. If you violate that policy, if you complain against that policy, if you push back against that policy, if you don't honor that policy, they will discipline you. Now, you should be able to make a case by saying that policy's in existence and I fear to be disciplined. I have a very strong probability I will be disciplined, but I don't want to cross the line to be disciplined because I don't want that on my record. And that is enough. This is not hypothetical in that respect, Matt. This is a real person with a real policy in a real school who has a real fear and a real issue that needs to be resolved. They should bounce over that fact that he hasn't been yet disciplined because he shouldn't have to cross that line.
Have to be disciplined, of
and,
course.
And then the issue then comes up is, all right, is the school's action lawful? And the answer to that's a no-brainer. Law says in Virginia, you can't add additional non-discrimination categories. The Fairfax County School Board did, case over.
It's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as you point out, very reasonable to say, well, that final step of forcing us, compelling a student to face discipline that could hurt their academic career in the future and so forth, that is unnecessary. The standing is pretty clear. It's there. But here there's an additional irony to all this, that a person could be disciplined under a policy that effectively permits sexual harassment. That's what we're talking about here. Think about that. All of the elements of sexual harassment are present here. If the young boy is in the shower or a young girl and a person of the opposite sex, biological sex, comes in and disrobes in front of them or views them in various states of undress, that is clearly it's a subjective analysis. If the person feels sexually harassed and apprehension of, you know, that's sexual harassment, and that they could be actually disciplined for being the victim of sexual harassment just defies all logic, reason, and, as a matter of fact, and law.
And in this context, it is even more accentuated because you got what's called the Dillon's Rule, meaning that if the school takes an action that is contrary to the state law in these non-discrimination categories, then its action is void, what's called ab initio. It's void from the very beginning. It is no action at all. So to force someone to be disciplined, to challenge an action of the school that is unlawful itself, it makes no sense, because otherwise what would happen is these schools can pass these policies, add all kinds of new categories that they want to, and threaten the students that they will ultimately discipline them, but don't take the actual disciplinary action. In other words, they change the student's behavior by threatening them, putting it in the disciplinary code, but they know that they can avoid the court litigation if they don't take the final step. They just tell the students, you better stay in line, otherwise you'll be disciplined. The good students are not going to cross that line because they don't want to be disciplined. And therefore, their action itself being unlawful, they intimidate, they threaten students with discipline, and yet they had no authority at all to do it. That's why this case doesn't make sense to force a student to cross the disciplinary line. Now this student, for example, is a senior, I'm not saying Jack Doe is, and they want to go on to the military academy, and they're going to have to struggle to try to get past this disciplinary honor code violation in order to get accepted into the military school. It makes no sense. We'll be back, no question about it. We'll get to the bottom of it. And when we do, this policy is going down. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. Remember, Liberty Counsel in your prayers and your financial support.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.